You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Please, before you get offended today, please go back and hear the other sermons, and then you'll understand why we're speaking on the topic we're speaking about this morning. I pray you don't believe the church shouldn't speak about the full counsel of God. The world is talking about this subject, sexuality, and they've missed it. They're educating our children. They're educating us. And I think it's important that we turn to the Word of God this morning and understand that God created us with a mandate to be sexual, be fruitful, and multiply. Our text this morning is going to be Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. The message is designed for intimacy. If I could give a subtitle, here's what it is. The naked truth about you. Please receive this message in the spirit in which it's intended. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." You may be seated. If you were to come into my house, you would come through the front door. I don't use the front door of our house. I use the side door that leads through the garage to a door that leads into the utility room. And once I have passed through my small utility room, if I turn to the right, I'm in the kitchen. If I turn to the left, I'm in the bedroom. Now, I have a habit that I've been doing for a lot of years. It's a habit that's not good. It's a habit that hopefully one day I'll completely break. I haven't arrived yet. I come into the utility room, and when I turn to the right into the kitchen, Salisa has a buffet, an old buffet. And whatever is in my hands, I just lay it on the buffet. But that's a no-no in my house. Everything has a place where everything goes, and that's not the place where the stuff I have in my hand goes. You ladies understand that, right? Now, once I have unloaded everything I have in my hand where it's not supposed to go, I have the intention of putting it where it goes at some point. Just not right then. I go into my favorite room of the house, and that's the master bedroom. And I haven't learned this lesson yet, but I just have this habit of just, wow, just stretching out on the bed. And after I've been here just a few minutes, I'm talking about a very few minutes, Salisa usually finds me. And here be the first words out of her mouth if I've just come home. "Are those your work clothes?" Yes. I mean, you ladies know you don't lay on the bed with your work clothes. I haven't arrived yet. I mean, I know that, but sometimes there's a disconnect between what I know and what I practice. So I'm trying not to do that. So I try to put the work clothes where they go, the utility room. Now, you don't want to see this picture, but I come into the house, I lay what I have in my hands on the buffet, I put my work clothes where they go, and then I jump on the bed. Now Salisa, after a couple minutes, finds me on the bed. She doesn't praise me that my work clothes are in the clothes basket. You know what she says? "Have you had a shower yet?" Now, I've got to make this up. I mean, I just know not to mess up the bed. I mean, we know that, right, men? We know not to mess up the bed. Ladies, you know the bed should not be messed up, right? You understand what the writer of Hebrews is doing, right? Let marriage, that covenant relationship between a male and a female that mirrors the image of God, let it be held in high regard. Let it be valuable. Let it be sacred. May you realize how precious it is. But he doesn't stop there. He, like me, goes to the favorite room of the house, the bedroom. If you're going to hold marriage in high regard, he says, let the marriage bed be undefiled. Now, please don't picture in your mind a literal bed, because that's not what the writer is meaning here. He's using the bed as a metaphor for the coming together of the husband and wife in full intimacy. He designed us to be in a sexual relationship with our spouse. If you are a man that is in a relationship with a woman, if you are a woman that is a relationship with a man, not just someone you are in love with, someone you are married to. Sex is not for two people in love. Sex is for two people in marriage who I pray are in love with each other. You and I were designed for intimacy. The culture in which we live now believes intimacy is a casual thing. Man, if you don't believe that to be true, just look at this modern thing that's sweeping the world. Facebook. Some of you air everything. I don't know if there's a disconnect between your fingers and your brain. I don't know how you can write and put pictures that you put out there for everyone to know and everyone to see. See, it's just a mark of where we are now. What was designed to be sacred is now casual. Please see this. The church does not believe that sex was designed for my happiness. The church believes sex was designed for holiness. God, in designing a male and female to come together in full oneness, not just physically and soulishly, that relationship mirrors the intimacy that God the Father has with God the Son, and God the Son has with God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son has with the Father, and God the Son has with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has with the Father, and the Holy Spirit has with the Son. There is a full knowing within the Trinity. To where they know all there is to know. Because they are one. And that's what God has designed to take place in the marriage relationship. Therefore, we can never view this as casual. We can never let this be taken over by the world to promote a person's self-gratification and happiness. But we must reclaim, even those of us who have messed it up big time. Because when it comes to this area, we have been so tempted by the world, there are very few in the church who have done it right. And thus the church is in the disarray it's in even to this day. We must reclaim what the Bible teaches about intimacy between a husband and a wife. Because see, that's what the writer's talking about. Let's keep intimacy that's designed for a male and a female in the covenant relationship of marriage, let's keep it undefiled. That word undefiled in the Greek dictionary means not stained, not polluted, not soiled. Let's keep the dirt out of sex. Let's keep sex pure. Let's keep it holy. Because as we pursue holiness sexually, it will ultimately bring us true happiness. But if we pursue happiness without holiness, we'll never be happy. And we'll never find what we're looking for in sex. So we're going to be talking about intimacy. In other words, the message is about this. Keep sex pure. Keep sex clean. Don't make sex dirty. And we're going to talk about how to do that. But in order to do that, you got to understand clean. I don't know about you, but there's just something about clean sheets. Everybody agree? Wow. I love it when Slisa gives me that. Got clean sheets on the bed. That's just good. Once you've seen sex in its purity, in its goodness, in its cleanness, then that'll help you understand what defiles it and what makes it dirty. Does that make sense? Now, this is a PG sermon, parental guidance. But I love the way the Bible addresses the relationship between a husband and wife. When it comes to being graphic, the Bible uses poetry, uses metaphors. I love having Genesis 4:1, because you remember the command to Adam and Eve was what? Be sexual, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. And the next thing we know, Adam knew his wife, and she what? Conceived. Scripture could have, but doesn't say, Adam had a sexual relationship with his wife and she conceived. Doesn't say Adam had sexual intercourse with his wife. Doesn't even say Adam made love to his wife and she conceived. No. It gives us a word picture here of what God intends intimacy to really be. And that's a man knowing his wife. He knows her. You know why he knows her? Because she knows him. See, intimacy is to know and to be known. Did you catch that? It's to know your spouse, but also in knowing your spouse, letting your spouse know you. As I was researching this week, I ran across a little article by someone who spelled intimacy this way. Not I-N-T-A-M-C-Y, but I-N-T-O-M-E-S-E-E. Into me, see. Now, not from a selfish viewpoint. Intimacy means Salisa sees me. And intimacy means I see her. Wow. You got to be really secure to let someone see into you. There's got to be a certain level of trust. You got to know that, man, if I tell you this deepest secret of mine, you're not going to bail. That's why you don't do this and can't do this unless it's in a relationship where that relationship cannot be broken, and that's marriage. Does that make sense? That's why if you try to have the benefit of marriage without the ring, it won't work. Just doesn't work. There will never be that transparency. There will never be that exposing of me, not just physically, but emotionally, soulishly, spiritually, to my spouse. Therefore, this intimacy is reserved for marriage. Guys, I do not believe it's an accident. I kid about this, but I'm dead serious. That's why after God creates Eve for Adam, I had this thought. I just got to share it with you. I've been here long enough. I think I can do this. Y'all do realize this, right? I'd never seen this. I've never read this. But this week, I saw this. When God performed the first wedding, there wasn't a big deal about the wedding dress because there was no wedding dress. Because there were no guests. It was just God and them. Wow. Did you hear that? No dress. And when the Bible talks about the wedding of Adam and Eve, here's what it tells us. A man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. And then what does the Bible say? Adam and his wife were both what? Naked and were not ashamed. Do y'all see this? Because see, listen to me. Here's how God intended sex to be used. And I'm using used in a good way, not a bad way. It's the picture of what he really intends for the husband and wife relationship to be. The relationship he intends us to have with him. In both of them being naked and not ashamed. There was nothing between them. Nothing. You know what Adam understood in his maleness? And you know what Eve understood in her femaleness? Sexually, they fit perfectly together. And when they fit perfectly together, they were one. There was nothing between them. Couldn't separate. They were one. Not just in a physical act, but in a spiritual act, in a soulish act. He knew what she was thinking. He knew what she was feeling. He knew what her will was. She knew what he was thinking. She knew what he was feeling. And she knew what his will was. And they were one. And there was no guilt. That's what it means to not be ashamed. There was no guilt. You know why there was no guilt? They had nothing to hide from each other. And that's the biggest detriment to marriage. And that's what's killing the marriage bed. What you're hiding. Your thoughts. You just won't be honest. How you really feel, you just won't be honest. What you really desire, you just won't be honest. And so most of the time when couples have sex today, somewhere before, during, or after, this question gets asked, what's wrong? Because at that moment you can't hide. You sense it. We're not one. Because you can't be. And we don't want to tell. See, the Bible's trying to give us a beautiful picture here of intimacy with this picture of them running around naked. They were right with God, and when you're right with God, you're right with your spouse. Then they sinned. And what does Scripture tell us? Their eyes were open. They realized they were naked. And they what? Made fig leaves for themselves. And then they hide. All of a sudden, even though she's not right with God, and because she's not right with God, guess what? She's not right with her husband. So you know what she does? She tries to hide. Now I'm sure her fig leaf outdid his fig leaf, amen? I'm sure she had a few little branches around her wrist, and a few little branches around her neck, probably hung some little acorns from her ears. She hid as much as she could hide. And all of a sudden, he's hiding too. Amen, we see that when we see God coming. What are you doing? I'm hiding. Why? Well, God knew why. I'm probably too old to be addressing this topic, possibly, to a modern audience. I was raised in an era where there was still some modesty. You do understand why the Bible is so into modesty, right? Ladies, you do not wear dresses up to here and shirts down to here. You cover your nakedness. Me and you do not wear those jeans. That reveal your maleness. You don't cut off the sleeves of your shirt to flex your muscles in a mixed crowd. That maleness and femaleness is reserved for your spouse. You say, I don't have a spouse. It's still reserved for your spouse. Immodesty breaks intimacy. Immodesty says, I don't care who sees me. I don't care who knows me. And that's the world we're living in now. Nobody is ashamed of their not rightness with God and their not rightness with others. So we put it on parade for everyone to see. And we've reduced this to a physical thing only. Ladies get so aggravated because corporations use sex to sell cars and motorcycles and hamburgers. and yet you sell yourself for a free look. Because we've lost how God designed us in our maleness and our femaleness. I remember when Slice and I got married. I did this for a lot of years. Again, you don't want to see this picture. But when I went to the shower, I took a towel with me, bathed, washed my hair, dried off in the shower, and then wrapped the towel around me to stand in front of the mirror with my wife beside me. I hid my maleness. In the beginning days, we actually turned out the lights, got under the covers before we expressed maleness and femaleness. When she'd get out of the shower, she wore her towel higher than I wore mine. Why? Because she covered. Can I say this truthfully? After fully understanding God's intention for the sexual relationship between a man and wife and how it mirrors the intimacy in the Godhead, no need of a towel anymore. Just drip dry in the shower. I love it. We got our own little garden. We got our little home. We got curtains. Don't ever come into our house without knocking. You may be embarrassed. It's taken a lot of years to say, this is who I am. Yeah, I'm not real secure about how I look. I'm not real secure in how I think sometimes. I'm not real secure in what I feel sometimes. And I'm not real secure sometimes in what I'm wanting to do. But here's what I do know. I can't do this without you. I need you. After 35 plus years of marriage and oneness, we're getting there. That's why when you see a couple, a Christian couple who's been married 50, 55, 60 years, and one dies, the other one dies with them. You know that. It's because you have arrived at oneness. One day, Salisa or I will know what that feels like. Unless Jesus comes first. But that's the beautiful picture here of biblical sexuality. The coming together of a man and a woman under God, knowing and being known, and giving birth to what Malachi calls godly offspring. Yeah. See, once we take a casual view of sex, sex will never be about what it was fully intended to be. And that's to have another you running around. Many of us are using our sex to prevent that from happening. Because we don't want that. Because we don't view sex fully the way God intended sex to be viewed. We've got a little bit of God, and we've got a little bit of the world, and we've got a little bit of us, and we've kind of mixed it all together. Therefore, we've lost a biblical view of sexuality. Now, I know you're asking the question. Okay, Brother Ricky, how do I keep the bed pure? I want you to look at verse 4 again. Let the marriage be undefiled. 4. You know that word 4 is a connecting word. It's not quite as strong as therefore, but it's in the same neighborhood. For God will what? Judge. In other words, can I say this? The judge in our house about how clean the physical bed stays is Salisa. And she tells me when I'm dirty, get off the bed. And there are some serious consequences, trust me. You know who's the judge? You know who's the audience of sex? It's God. You know what God says? You keep the marriage bed clean. Don't let it get dirty. You know how he does that? By judging the sexually immoral and the adulterous. If you make sex dirty, you'll face the judgment of God. Therefore, I'll tell you what I believe this is teaching. Here's what I believe this is teaching. In a positive sense, then here's what it's teaching. Here's how I can keep my marital relationship pure with my spouse. Number one, I guard sex before marriage. I don't have sex before marriage. If you're having sex before marriage, you're not honoring marriage, and you're not keeping sex pure. You're in sin. You're making something that God meant to be pure dirty. Now, when we point our finger at people, there's three pointing back at us, right? If 100% of Christians are having sex before marriage, it doesn't make it right. And it doesn't change the fact that what you're doing is not pure. It's not clean. Oh, it may be bringing you satisfaction and gratification, but you're not pure. You got a problem. We have, as a church, got to guard sex before marriage. We got to be teaching this to our kids, just like we teach them to brush their teeth, just like we teach them to eat healthy food. We got to teach men, boys, one day to be men, and in their maleness, watch this, they're the pursuer. The female is the responder. She's going to respond to your pursuit. She's been designed that way. But we got to teach our boys not to pursue women intimately until marriage. And we got to teach our girls not to respond. Guys, just got to be totally honest with you. I don't know how you can hold him accountable for not touching her when you let her go out looking like what she looks like. It's bad on a day-by-day basis, but it gets really bad at special events. It's got to stop. Got to stop, because we don't want our children to have the scars many of us have. Much of my counseling is about what happened before the marriage, not what's happened after the marriage. Once it dawns on a guy that she had sex with him before marriage, he begins to realize she might have sex outside of marriage. Because all of a sudden, the standards changed. He thought he was really something to get her before marriage, but now he knows he's not enough to keep her from engaging after marriage. And now he wants her to have a relationship with God. You guys listening to me? We've got to stand against culture, no matter what culture says. Here's what we've got to stand. We're going to do it different in the church. We're not going to engage in sex before marriage. Therefore, if you do not want your daughter or your son to marry to their 25 or 26, I would not let them be alone with a guy or a girl to at least 24, 23. Why? Because you don't become sexual when you get married. God created us sexual. So we are sexual beings. God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. So here's what the Bible's saying. If we're going to keep sex pure, the church has to teach principles that teach our children we do not engage in sex until marriage. God did not design me to help everyone or just anyone but the one. See, now this goes back to why you believe you're designed the way you're believed. Do you as a lady believe you were designed with one man in mind? You said, but really, I don't know who that man is. I'll tell you who that man is. It's the man you marry. That's him. That's why you need to know what he needs help in before you say yes. Because if you can't be his helper, then you don't need to marry him. It's that simple. And we got to guard sex outside of marriage. Once we get into a covenant relationship of marriage, there can never... Now, shouldn't have been in the first place before marriage. But you know, if you've had a lot of casual sexual encounters before marriage, you're going to be really tempted to have some casual sex encounters after marriage. Now, it doesn't mean you'll give in to that temptation. But please know this. If we're going to keep the marriage bed clean and not dirty, we don't have sex before marriage. And the only sex we have after marriage is with our spouse. When you no longer want to be married, then you will never have sex again. I mean, this is really simple. None of us in here can say, well, I didn't know what I was doing. Yeah, you knew what you was doing. You knew what you were doing. Guys, virginity was such a big deal in the Bible that if a man didn't marry a virgin, he could put her away if she'd deceived him. And it was the parents' responsibility to guard the integrity of their daughters. So you know what the dads did? It's in the book of Leviticus. When that man went into his daughter on the wedding night, you know what he did? He slipped a cloak under them. And their first sexual encounter was not on a Motel 6 sheet, but on daddy's cloak. And when that wedding was over, he bundled that cloak up after he examined it and he saw the blood. He'd fulfilled his responsibility before God. You remember the Song of Solomon? She tells the daughters of Jerusalem that imaginary chorus as she was getting excited in preparation for her wedding. Don't awaken love. Don't stir it until it pleases. And here's what she knew. She knew. Do not let liberals tell you that the Song of Solomon is talking about Solomon having a sexual relationship with someone who's not his wife. That's a lie. He was in a covenant relationship with Mrs. Solomon. And she recognized passion. can get out of control. And she told the daughters, whoa, 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 let's not awaken this. Do you remember what Mrs. Solomon says? That she had some brothers. And before she was mature in her femaleness, they looked at her character and decided if she was a wall or a door. A wall means can't penetrate it. They said, if she's a wall, we're going to decorate it with silver. We're going to make it look good. Yes, they were going to reveal her femaleness, not immodestly, but reveal her character. She's waiting for you. But if she was a door, meaning if in her going out with boys, she was just going to let them in. You know what the brother said? We'll nail her door shut with cedar boards. Can I say to you, brothers? You need to examine the character of your sisters. It's on us as a family to guard the virginity of the female. Why? Because she's meant to respond to the pursuer. She's been designed to perfectly fit, and there will be pursuers who will pursue for the wrong motive. And therefore, brother steps in. Yeah. Sex is a gift. It's sacred. It's special. Because in sex, here's what the female is saying. I have found the one I was made for. I'm ready to respond to you. You need me. Here I am. And that's what the man says. In being holy as a man, we teach him to pursue, but to pursue down a godly path. That she will respond. She's been designed that way. Therefore, I will not pursue that path until I take her from the church to the marriage bed. Therefore, we guard sex before marriage and we guard sex after marriage. Now, I'm done out of time, but let me give you two chapters in the Bible you got to read. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I want to close with this. Here's how we keep from having sex before marriage, and here's how we keep from having sex outside of marriage. Number one, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says this. My body belongs to God, not me. Amen. And God didn't make my body for fornication, sexual immorality. He made it for his glory. Hey, ladies, teenage girls, your body belongs to God if you're a Christian. He's holy. Guess what your body should be? Holy. Should be set apart, should be different. You shouldn't look at your body like the other girls at school look at their bodies. You shouldn't want to use your body just so you can be intimate with Chris. You should realize that your body was designed first so you could be intimate with Christ. So you're going to learn to dress modest for Christ. And I promise you, that will be alluring to the guy who you need to help for the rest of his life. You say, but Brother Ricky, hey, trust me, you don't want that guy. If all he wants is your body and not you, girls, this is why you do not live with a guy. This is why you do not have sex before marriage. You're not giving a part of you to him. You're giving you to him. That's why we've got to be against divorce. We got to be for holy homes. So here's what I realize. Chuck, God owns your body. Yours too, Mike. And he valued us the same. He put his son on the cross. to own me. Wow. So don't think of yourself as a Volkswagen. You are a Ferrari. Amen? I get to borrow Sleesa's truck from time to time. I keep it clean. You know why I keep it clean? Because she's clean. If we just realize we belong to God, we wouldn't want to get what's his dirty. And that's our body, which is not our body. It's his body. Now, secondly, 1 Corinthians 7 teaches that if you're married, your body doesn't belong to God only. It belongs to your spouse. Whoa. This is cool. I love this. I love this. Just got to be honest. Sleesa belongs to God and me. Her body's not just God's. Her body's mine. I've told you guys years ago, I mean this all my heart, there's a sign on my wife that says, no trespassing. Violators will be shot on the spot. Amen. There's not going to be any prosecution. I know this is not going to be politically correct to say in this society, but here's what we men need to understand. Sleesa belongs to Ricky. Salisa's body is my body. Therefore, when you look at her, you're looking at my body. And I don't want men looking at me. Yuck! Amen? So the next time you look at somebody else's wife that way, you repent and you confess. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, I would never. I know you wouldn't, but here's what Jesus said. You better check your heart out. See, sex is a window into our heart. And Jesus taught long before it ever comes out in a fleshly activity, it starts in the heart. So you better deal with your heart. Amen. Sex was not designed by God for me. Sex was designed by God for Sleesa. So my desire is to realize that her body is mine. But God gave it to me so I could take care of her. He didn't give her to me sexually just so she'd take care of me. And he gave me to her. Not so I'd take care of her sexually, but so she'd take care of me sexually. And can I just say that works out pretty cool? When the husband's into the wife and the wife's into the husband, there's nothing in between you. Because you fit perfectly together. And you can pursue as the male, and she'll respond as the female. And then we have no trouble going from the bedroom to the living room or to any other room in the house, because he understands I need her, and she understands he needs me. She understands I was designed for him. Now, in closing, and I am closing, this is why pornography is so damaging. My wife has told me for years, but I did not really fully understand this because I'd never seen pornography from the female side as much as I saw it from the man's side. Men are visually stimulated sexually. Therefore, the temptation to men will be, I don't need a wife, don't need a girlfriend, just do it by myself. Therefore, you'll pick up a magazine, you'll flip on the internet and watch a video. That is so selfish. That is so dirty. How dare you? How dare I? But you know, there's a flip side of this. See, men, in their physicalness, believe sex is intimacy. That's why after a fight, man wants to make sure everything's okay. Everything's okay. We can just go to bed. We're good, right? Lady feels something's wrong in the marriage. The guy immediately thinks, man, we're having sex 3 times a week. And everything good? you need more? Okay. No. Wife's on a different level. Wife, many ways to express intimacy. She's into what you're thinking. She's into what you're feeling. She's into what you're wanting to do. She needs you to think out loud. Therefore, when you're not thinking out loud, something's wrong. And the last thing she wants to do is have sex when something's wrong. See, sex is the intimacy to the man. Sex is the fulfillment of intimacy to a woman. But ladies, you're just as sinful as man. Oh, you don't turn to videos usually, and you don't turn to magazines. But boy, you love to read those romance novels, don't you? See, a man looks at what he's looking, and you suddenly realize, well, I'm not enough. What do you think he thinks when all of your free time is the romance novel and you herd three or four of your girlfriends up and you got to go to see the last chick flick out? You know what the chick flick says? I'll never be what that man is. And your use of your chick flicks and your romance novels is just as damaging to intimacy to him as his visual magazines are to you. First Corinthians 6 says this. List a whole bunch of people who's not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, and such were you. But then he says, but you are washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified now. This message did not mean to condemn, because you can come to the blood of Jesus Christ and you can be cleansed. If you're a single, Jesus said it's going to be hard to be single and not have sex. Matthew 19. Disciples said, hey, if this is right, wouldn't it be better if we didn't get married? And Jesus said, hey, not many people can live that way, but there are a few. So if you choose for the kingdom's sake to remain single, God bless you in your intimacy with Christ. But if you're in a marriage relationship, let's wash, let's get clean, and let's stay clean for the glory of God.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.